All right, would you turn your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And read with me, please, from verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now I want to talk to you this morning about two words that appear in verse 15. Notice that he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast. The word therefore has to do with verse 13 and 14. We're bound to give thanks always to God, brethren, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Verse 14, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. And you'll notice that in the context it is very clear that he's talking about the day of Christ is at hand, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to be revealed. You know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And I personally believe that that which withholds is masculine. I believe it's the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is spoken of in the masculine sense. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity, I believe, is the, just as the church, which is the body of Christ, is called the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm well aware that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the primary interpretation of the passage would be that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, he's called the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, seen, and so forth and so on. And just as the church, which is the body of Christ, then, I'm saying, is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. In other words, just as God was in Christ, Christ is in the church. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you are the temple of God. That is, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying that you collectively, in other words, all of you put together in one body, are the temple of God. All right, just as the church, which is the body of Christ, is the temple of God, is called the mystery of godliness, then the phony church, the apostate church, which has to do with denial of the truth of the Word of God, and they are very clear in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. There are those today who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, but the Bible said there's a way which seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. And the end that he's referring to, the way which he's referring to in Proverbs there, is the way of religion, self-righteousness. Now, that self-righteous bunch, that bunch that believe that by doing good works and loving the neighbor and the works of righteousness and whatever, that by all those things they're going to be acceptable to God, I'm saying they're called the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And that the mystery of iniquity, in the literal sense of the word, is the Antichrist himself. Just as God was manifest in Jesus Christ, the devil will be manifest in the Antichrist. And just as Jesus is the mystery of godliness, Antichrist is the mystery of iniquity. And just as Jesus Christ has a church, Antichrist has a church. Just as the church of Jesus Christ is his body, the church which is the of the Antichrist is his body. And just as the church of Jesus Christ, which is his body, has to do with his temple, the church of the Antichrist, his body, is his temple. And just as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body, his temple, is referred to as the mystery of godliness, the church of the Antichrist, which is his temple and his body, is the mystery of iniquity. On the one side, the church which is the body of Christ, the mystery of godliness, have received the truth that they might be saved. They love the Lord. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ, believing the gospel of Christ. And just as he says in verse 14, wherefore he called you by our gospel. All right, we were called by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was committed to the Apostle Paul. And just as we have received the gospel of Christ and believe the gospel of Christ, the others receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And God will send them strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie and be damned. The lie they will believe is the Antichrist himself. He's called the lie in John chapter 8, verse 44. Now, I'm concerned with standing fast, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, he cannot get your soul. The Antichrist cannot get your soul. He can't get you. But he can cause you to lose the reward that could be yours if you stand fast. All right, he said stand fast. A comparison would be Romans chapter 14. Go back to Romans chapter 14 and look at the contrast here. In Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now he standeth or falleth. In other words, the word stand fast, as I'm going to be referring to them, is in contrast to falling. Falling into apostasy. Turn please to Galatians, and look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And in this particular case, Paul had preached the message of grace unto the Galatians. He preached the gospel of Christ to them. They had believed, and they had become saved. After they were saved, the Judaizers, those that teach that you must keep the law and the things of the law, had come in there and taught them to keep the law. Now, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. All right? I am using stand fast, excuse me, I'm using the passage of stand fast, I'm using it in contrast to falling, that is apostasy, going into apostasy. Stand fast. Now, how to stand is the first thing I want you to notice. How can I stand fast? And the word would have to do with be secure, stand secure. For instance, in the book of Ephesians, there are three things that are seem to be clear in the book of Ephesians if I divided it into three parts. Number one, I'm to sit. Number two, I'm to walk. And number three, I'm to stand. I am to sit. That is, I am to sit down on the truth that I find of which Christ did for me. That is, Jesus Christ died for me on Calvary. He was buried and he rose again. And so I'm saved through believing on Jesus Christ and receiving him as my Savior. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. That is, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin, so I do not fear the penalty for sin. I am now being saved from the power of sin. The Spirit of God is working within me to teach me the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. I am to hide in my heart. I am to store up the Word of God in me. And in so doing, I will fortify myself against apostasy. And then I'm to stand. I'm to stand fast. I'm to sit. That is, sit with the truth. I am to walk with that truth, and I'm to stand on that truth. Now, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I am now being saved from the power of sin, and I shall be saved from the presence of sin. Now, I am to sit on the truth. That is, I am to relax on that truth. I am to not be frustrated and worried and let the deceivers deceive me into believing the phony stuff they teach. Then I'm to walk. I'm to walk with the truth. I'm to walk according to, I'm to walk in love, and I'm to walk in unity and whatever. Then I'm to stand. I'm to stand fast and so forth. Now, how can I do this? In Ephesians, look in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, due to the enemy that is about us, and the enemy that is our flesh, and so forth, the temptation on every hand, we're to stand. We're to stand fast, and how can we do it? We can do it by putting on the armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. My strength should be the truth of the Word of God. Having a breastplate of righteousness. That is, I should expose in my life the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I should never expose my righteousness. I should never brag upon my own goodness. I should boast in Christ's goodness. Paul said, we glory in the cross of Christ. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is, I am to study the Word of God, and I am to practice preaching the Word of God. I am to prepare my feet, put shoes on my feet so that I can walk and carry this truth. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield I'm to hold in front of me, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Without the faith, I cannot overcome the darts. The darts there are the doctrines of demons, the seducing of evil spirits and doctrines of devils and whatever. Well, I can't withstand that without the shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is a no-so salvation. I know that I'm saved, therefore I've got on the helmet. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right, then that is clear. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All right, then how can I stand against the wiles of the devil? How can I stand against the apostasy when the world is going into apostasy? The religious system is accepting the deception of Satan and advancing his cause in the world today, preparing for the Antichrist to come. How can I stand? I'm to stand fast. Well, how can I do it? I can do it by putting on the armor of God. I put on the helmet of salvation. That is, make sure about my salvation. I know I'm saved. If I don't know I'm saved, then I'll be open for them. I'll be wide open for them. I'm to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That is, I'm to expose Christ's righteousness in my life. I'm to take the shield of faith and hold that shield in front of me. My faith in the Word of God, that God meant what he said and said what he meant. I'm to put on the girdle of truth. That is, I'm to strengthen myself with truth. And I'm to put on the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've got on the armor of God, we'll say. Now I'm ready to stand. Now what am I to stand in and for? All right. Number one, I'm to stand in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and notice verse 13. Watch you. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Now, to stand fast in the faith in the passage appears to be opposite of being like men. Well, they were. Go back to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, you are not carnal, and walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" And so forth and so on. Well, then I'm to stand fast in the faith and quit being like men. This stands very clear in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Then in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." In other words, to stand fast in the faith is to not stand like the men around me. They do not have the faith, and I'm to stand in the faith. Now, I must identify the faith. Now, Paul said there is one faith in Ephesians chapter 4. He said there is one faith. He said to Timothy, "I have kept the faith." He said, "I finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." All right. Then if there's one faith, and Paul kept that faith, and Paul is going to get a crown of righteousness for keeping that faith, then if I stand fast in the faith that Paul is referring to, then I can expect a crown of righteousness. Well, what is that faith? Well, we must look at a contrast. Turn in your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. In Luke 12, verse 22. "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on." Now, there can be no doubt about what he's saying. Don't worry about tomorrow, what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Verse 24, "Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much you better than the fowls?" Then I'm to look at the ravens, according to the passage now, they were to look at the ravens and consider them and consider that they didn't store up anything and God fed them. Then in verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not nor spend not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these." Already said, look at the ravens. They don't store up anything and God feeds them. Look at the lilies. They don't toil and God clothes them. How much more are you better than they? Therefore, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. God will take care of it. Now look in verse 33. Verse 33, "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." All right, now he's talking to his disciples at this time, according to verse 22. Now, those disciples received the gospel of the circumcision in Mark 16. In Mark 16, he said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." All right. Peter then goes and begins to do it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Then Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Verse 44. "And all that believed were together, and had all things common." Now notice closely. Acts chapter 2, they begin to carry out their commission. They were told, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they said, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and your children and all that are far off. All right? They believed. And that day, several thousand of them were saved. Now, verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and on and on. Now there can be no doubt about it. God gave them the faith. The Lord told them what to do. In other words, the faith that they had is to consider the ravens. The ravens don't work, neither should they. The lilies don't toil, neither should they. That is, they are to trust that the Lord is going to supply everything for them. Therefore, they quit their work. And they went to the temple, and they continued daily in one accord in the temple, praising God. And they sold their lands and their houses. They sold their homes and everything. And they laid the proceeds down at the feet of the apostles. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Why did they, on what basis did they sell everything they had? They did it on the basis of faith. Luke chapter 12 is very clear. He told them, don't work, don't toil. You'll be fed and you'll be clothed. But that isn't all. Don't keep anything you've got. Sell everything that you've got and you'll lay up treasure in heaven. God is going to take care of you. Now, that faith of Acts chapter 2 is exhibited in what they did as people. In other words, they worked out their salvation. That is, they performed out the faith that was within them. They did what God told them to do, and it shows up in the passages. Now look at Paul. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. You certainly could not say that about those in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. Why, obviously, they were not providing for their own. Why, Jesus Christ said to them back there, if you love mother or father or houses or homes or whatever more than me, you're not worthy of me, and on and on. And he said, sell out what you got and give to the poor and come follow me. Why, the rich young ruler came to him in Matthew 19 and he said, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. He said, well, I did this, but Jesus said, you still lack something. You got wealth, sell it. And the man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He could not have eternal life. He could not be a part of that church without selling out what he had. He had to do so. And if that isn't enough to prove the faith of that church along that basis, in Acts chapter 5, there is a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And these two owned a possession. And they sold that possession. And they kept back part of the goods. They took part of it and laid it down, but they kept back part of it. And God killed both of them. They had lied to the Holy Ghost. There is no doubt about it. To be a part of that church and to have the life that was referred to there, they had to sell out. And yet Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if any provide not for his own, especially for they of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, then the faith of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 certainly cannot be the faith that said, sell out everything you got and don't worry about your family. God will take care of them. Act like the birds and act like the flowers. Why, turn please to 2 Thessalonians and look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Well, they in Acts chapter 2 certainly didn't work. They quit their jobs. God told them to. He said, "Consider the ravens. They don't work." All right? By that faith, they worked out that faith in their lives. They quit their jobs. They went into the temple praising God and waiting for the Lord to return. Distribution was made unto them as they had need right there in Jerusalem. They were expecting the Lord to come back to his temple. But you're not to be so. It's not to be so with you. You're to stand fast in the faith. That faith is the faith, the one faith of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul said, "I've kept the faith." It's the faith that was given through the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord preached the gospel unto the Apostle Paul. Paul said that he was the first. Now, Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, is the means whereby we're saved. We do not repent and get baptized for salvation. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We're not being baptized looking forward unto remission of sins at the coming of the Lord. We believe on Christ that he died for our sins, was buried and rose again for our justification, and we believe that we're saved right now and sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're to stand fast in the faith. Stand secure in that faith and be not shaken and be not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Don't let the deceivers, don't let the seducers and the doctrines of devils cause you to end up in apostasy. Now, the second thing, we're to stand in the Lord. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're to stand in the faith, but we're to stand in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Well, the passage is in regard to that which he just spoke in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3, verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We're to stand fast in the Lord. That is, everything we're to do is to be in the Lord. It is to be in the Lord and in his name. We're to serve God in his name. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, indeed do all in the name of the Lord, giving him the glory thereby." And the Bible said you're bought with a price. "Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit which are his." And so here's the whole thing. You see, we do not look for an inheritance upon this earth. We are not post and amillennialists. We do not believe that we're going forth with the gospel and going to cause the whole world to repent and spread the gospel throughout the whole world, and then the Lord's going to come. We don't believe that at all. We're not preparing to remain here upon this earth. We are preparing to go up to where the Lord is. The Lord is going to change our vile body. We are a heavenly-minded people. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're standing fast in the Lord. That is, we were baptized into the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ hang upon Calvary. The word Lord means the same thing as ruler and potentate, king. He's the creator of heaven and earth. The word Jesus means Jehovah Savior, and the word Christ means the anointed of God. Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, we stand in the Lord. Our stand today is in the Lord. That is, Jesus Christ took our sin upon him and died for our sin on Calvary. We believe that we were baptized or identified in Jesus Christ on the cross. We believe that we were baptized or identified in his death. That is, we figuratively died when he died. We figuratively were buried when he was buried, and we figuratively arose when he arose. We're in the Lord, and we're to stand fast in the Lord, waiting for him to come. That is, we are not waiting for him to set up his kingdom on this earth. We're waiting for our bodies to be changed to go out and meet him. We're to go out to where he is. Look back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If you then be risen with Christ..." We believe we died with him, was buried with him, and rose with him. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Our language and our conversation is a heavenly language. We talk about heavenly things. When we talk to people about their salvation, we don't talk to them about where they're going when they die. We talk to them about what's going to happen when the rapture comes. You see, we're not looking forward to death. We're looking forward to our vile bodies being changed and made like unto the Lord's glorious body. We're to stand fast in the work of the Lord. The Lord did the work for us, and we stand in that finished work of the Lord. Notice Philippians chapter 3, the contrast. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, we have become conformable unto his death. We have conformed ourselves to his death. That is, we believe that he died our death for us. The law could not do anything else to us. The Bible said that sin is the transgression of the law. Therefore, we're not under the law now that we're in Christ. Why? The law brought death to upon our sins on the Lord. It brought death to the Lord for our sins. Well, if the law brought his death for our sins, then certainly the law cannot touch us, so we don't stand in the law. We stand in the Lord. We believe that the Lord finished the work of redemption in our behalf, and we are not looking to remain upon this earth. We're looking for the Lord to change our bodies, catch us out to meet him, and we will be like unto his glorious body. Stand fast in the faith, stand fast in the Lord, and the third thing, stand fast in the liberty that you have. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, we have been delivered from the law through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When men teach us that we're to keep the commandments, when they teach us that we're to keep the law, we don't abide by that at all. Why? Because we are dead to the law, according to Romans chapter 7, verse 4, and Romans chapter 10, verse 4. We are dead to the law through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered under the law in our behalf. Therefore, we're dead to the law, and we're not under the law. Number one, the law was given never to save a soul. The law failed in that which it in saving anybody. It could never save anybody. Look in Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In other words, then there was fault with the first covenant. What was the fault with that first covenant? Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now here it is. What was wrong with it? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law had a fault. What was that fault? It could do nothing more than condemn the person who claimed to walk in it. That is clear in Galatians chapter 3. Notice in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The law had faults. What was the fault with it? It was weak through man's flesh. In other words, a man had to keep the law by his flesh, by activity. Well, his flesh was weak. He couldn't keep the law. Therefore, it had a fault. What was it? It only condemned him. It could not save him. All right, then, we're to walk in the liberty. We're to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made us free from the law. We've been set free from the law. We are dead to the law. We're to stand fast in the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. And then the fourth thing, we're to stand in the unity of the one body. Look in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 27. Philippians 2:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're to stand fast in the unity of the Spirit, and unity of the Spirit in one spirit and one mind, the unity of the one body of Ephesians chapter 4. Go back there, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, you know something? We've already looked at the one faith. The faith of those that were baptized with the baptism of repentance caused them to sell out everything they have. And yet, we're to, if we supply not our own, take care of not our own, we have denied the faith. All right, the one baptism can only be the baptism of the Spirit of God. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body. We're to walk in the unity of the one body. Compare the people who did not do that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. All right, then, we're to walk in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are all saved by the same gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again for our justification. And it is by that gospel that we're going to be changed. Our vile bodies are going to be made like unto his glorious body. Well, if it is by that gospel, then we're to stand fast in the Spirit that exalts that gospel. And to do so, we will be in unity. We're not to be divided up. We're to be one in Christ Jesus, recognizing the unity of that one body. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and notice in verse 11. In the last of the verse, he gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. We're to be in the unity of the faith. What faith? The faith that was given through the Apostle Paul. Not Peter, not James, not John, not even the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. It's the faith of the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ from on high, brighter than the noonday sun, spoke to the Apostle Paul and saved him by the gospel of Christ and gave him the faith. And Paul wrote down in Romans through Philemon the one faith. Therefore, the one body is in that. It's in that Romans through Philemon. It is the people that believe that one gospel and stand in that one faith are in the one body, and they are in the unity of the faith. We're to stand. How are we to stand? By putting on the armor of God. We're to stand fast. What are we to stand in or for and so forth? Well, we're to stand in the one faith. We're to stand in the Lord. We're to stand in liberty. And we're to stand in unity. If we do those things, we will never end up in apostasy. And we shall receive a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. Would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, we're grateful for the privilege to be here, and thank you for the people. We thank you, Lord, that thou would bless this message today. And if there have been things that are said that are wrong, let them go unheeded and forgotten. But if they're right, we pray that we'd live by them, believe them, and stand for them and stand in them. Give us the grace to stand, and having done all, just stand. And Lord, even though when we're embarrassed, help us to stand. When we're afraid, help us to stand. When we appear to be defeated, help us to know that thou art not defeated. And so help us to stand in the Lord, knowing that you're not defeated. Give us the grace to just stand. Give us the grace to believe, accept, receive the truth, stand in that truth, and stand fast in the faith, stand fast in the liberty. Never go back under the law. Stand in unity. And may we do these things for Christ's sake. May we do them that he be exalted, and that we receive a crown of glory someday, that may be for his glory. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.